Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, ciao, wee vee va kat bang, half a day, chai janendra, salam, shalom, peace. Now, go vegan. Peace, how? Go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, kilitary industrial corp nation, in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy mocracy criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where the cuisine of choice for the sophisticated palate is decomposing animal body parts. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, broadcast date September 11th, 2011. The 10th anniversary of a sad and violent national tragedy that catapulted an unpopular and unelected president to king of the world, able to declare endless wars on countries that had nothing to do with 9/11, able to squander countless billions of dollars on fruitless searches for weapons of mass destruction. 9/11 is bad enough without having to have those meat-eating war criminal hunters back in our lives. And 9/11 is sad enough without that George W. Bush and that Dick Cheney, you know, reviving the horrific memories of their Dick Cheney-tatorship. Thank you, patriotic cities of Brattleboro and Marlboro, Vermont, voting to arrest Bush and Cheney on sight. It's interesting that you look at contemporary heroic figures. Denis Kucinich, for example, the only vegan in Con Greece. And he would give us a Department of Peace. But with Bush and Cheney, you know, they have to have their pound of flesh on their dinner table, their pound of flesh of war victims in the terrorist trophy case next to the trophies hanging on the wall from their horrific hobby of hunting. You know, there they are, all week, hard at work, those guys, strategizing on how to kill massive numbers. And then, after a hard week at work killing, what do they do for fun? Well, recreational killing. Yes, that Dick Cheney, who likes to go human face hunting and caged hunting also, blasting away at tame birds released just for the pleasure of heartless monsters like that Dick Cheney. The George W. Bush fake prop ranch in Crawford that made him look like a real Texan there was actually neighbors with a caged hunt facility. So, you know, in the evening, looking for something to do there in the Bush ranch, it's, hey, howdy, neighbors. Hey, can I borrow a cup of sugar? And, you know, while I'm here, how about I blast away at 100 tame birds, you know, having a little insomnia tonight. So, and then there went the neighborhood when the first evidence of morality moved to Crawford, when Peace Mom Cindy Sheehan appeared, a vegan. She came to town and started Camp Casey next to the Bush Ranch. Cindy Sheehan, a vegan, because of listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. You can hear her interviews with me on the archives at goveganradio.com. You know, the response to 9/11 now, and as it should have been 10 years ago, is a rejection of senseless violence, not a campaign embarking upon it. Oh, and then came the fear campaign here that made the United States a constitution-free zone. Somehow Bush was able to declare the Constitution unconstitutional, and Al-Qaeda was in every park. Any kid who could successfully traverse the playground monkey bars must have been trained at an Al-Qaeda training camp, right? And in response to the 9/11 attack, we not only attack a country that had nothing to do with 9/11, the new constitution-free U.S. government decides its most important bill to pass is the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, allowing those who engage in peaceful, nonviolent actions on behalf of animals to be arrested as terrorists. And who really is a threat to America and Americans, to you and your family? Is it the kid who releases mink from cages in Utah? Is it the kid on the monkey bars? Has anybody in your family been hurt or killed by Al-Qaeda or the Taliban? Has anybody in your family been hurt or killed by heart disease, cancer, stroke, obesity, diabetes? 3,000 unfortunate people died on 9/11 10 years ago, and then every day since then, 3,000 people died of diseases associated with meat and dairy consumption. You figure about 1.5 million Americans every year, heart disease and cancers generally associated with the consumption of animal products. And we are eating the victims of a hidden, undeclared war. Yes, nobody wants to talk about that. The war on animals, huh? Well, the decision to bomb Iraq in response to 9/11 is just about as absurd as it is to mass murder animals in response to hunger, huh? And the animals would like to remind you that every day is 9/11 for them, and the horrific, senseless violence that they have to endure puts that violence right on your plate, and then meat and dairy kill more Americans every year than all wars combined. You know, never mind the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. I mean, what do they have going? They're broke. They don't have troops, right? Their number two guy was killed again last week. The week before that, Al-Qaeda's number two guy. The week before that, the number two guy. Next week, Al-Qaeda's number two guy will be killed. And the week after that, the number two guy. So basically what they have is they have one number three guy in a park somewhere hand lettering signs. Al Jazeera has translated those signs, by the way. It's Americans, keep eating what you're eating. Americans, keep eating what you're eating. That's the low budget terrorism from Al-Qaeda. If Bush did ever have some real intelligence, and I know that's an oxymoron, megamoron, he could have found, you know, the weapons of mass destruction in any hamburger bun. And, you know, when it comes to who should be at the top of the terrorist list, no one destroys more lives than Ronald McDonald. So, I don't know, the drones shouldn't be off bombing people in Iraq and Afghanistan when they should be bombing the slaughterhouses across America, the terrorist cells all across America. I mean, if Bush really cared, if the warlords, Bush, Cheney, Barack the Bomber, were interested in the cause of peace, which, of course, they're not, the intelligence is there. Wars are fought over resources such as oil, water, land, food. Meat and dairy squander such resources. That results in competition instead of sharing, and, you know, puts us now in endless wars. Endless wars. And consider the words of Tolstoy, author of War and Peace. As long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. And Italian philosopher Adorno, Theodore Adorno, said, quote, Auschwitz begins whenever someone looks at a slaughterhouse and thinks they are only animals. And please consider going vegan as your response to 9/11, as your action that rejects insane violence. Are you with the vegans or with the terrorists? Go vegan, celebrate nonviolence. Remember, Bush, Cheney, Obama, meat eaters, Dennis Kucinich, Cindy Sheehan, Cesar Chavez, vegans. And there are wonderful events coming up celebrating veganism. Next weekend, Portland Veg Fest. We'll talk about it today with Grant Butler on the show. He's an arts critic and food writer for the Oregonian newspaper 2 years ago. A journalistic stunt for him. Go vegan for a month. He's still vegan. And also on this week's program, a visionary in the vegan organic green movement, Beau Rinaldi, chef, author, restaurateur. He went vegan 51 years ago. I'm looking forward to World Veg Weekend coming up in San Francisco, Golden Gate Park, October 1st and 2nd. I hope to see you there. IMC, as usual. Great speakers, including T. Colin Campbell, John Robbins, Dr. Milton Mills, Dr. Tel RN. Check out the list at sfvs.org. Both days there, Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I guess I'm speaking for an hour and a half on Sunday. I've invited Nathan Winograd to participate with me in a discussion of no-kill. I will discuss vegan animal liberation activism and a campaign to abolish meat. Jungle Friends has Bob Ingersoll, our guest from last week's show. I hope that show's on the website by now. We had some technical difficulties. He's there. He's in the film Project NIMH, and there are screenings between September 23rd and the 29th. At Jungle Friends in Gainesville, Florida. PETA President Ingrid Newkirk will be speaking at a benefit for the Center for Animal Protection and Education in Scotts Valley, Monday, September 26th. Information at capeanimals.org, Ingrid Newkirk, the guest on my program here next week. And everyone who can is urged to attend the West Hollywood City Council meeting Monday, September 19th. That's the night the West Hollywood City Council votes to ban the sale of fur apparel in that city. And when it passes that night, there is going to be a major celebration in the streets of WeHo. We're glad the shark fin bill passed the California Senate. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, listener supported. We have to buy the airtime. Please donate. You make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147. And for archives and podcasts, and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com.
Cows, pigs, and chickens don't want to be food.
Stereo File 1 Dispatch Channel.
Here's an easy way to create more delicious, healthful, and affordable meals. Visit recipefactory.net, where you can analyze existing recipes or create new ones, customize to use or avoid specific ingredients, meet your dietary, aesthetic, and budget requirements, check complete protein, inflammation, and glycemic load, create food and meal substitutes, upload your recipe creations, and download others. Visit recipefactory.net. Create at recipefactory.net. You'll love Loving Hut, the fastest growing chain of vegan restaurants ever, now with over 200 worldwide. The first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you, including three in San Francisco, Oak Ridge Mall in San Jose, and Elk Grove. You'll love Loving Hut. Visit lovinghut.us.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Vegan media infiltration for over 10 years now. Broadcasting on great radio stations, including 620 KPOJ Progressive Talk in Portland. You know, we have to buy the airtime every week and help with a tax-deductible donation or by advertising your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. If you want to donate, you make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, go to goveganradio.com. Well, next weekend is Portland Veg Fest, and one of the main speakers is my next guest, Grant Butler. He's the arts and culture critic and food writer at the Oregonian newspaper, and you can see his writings in OregonLive.com and Food Day. And next week, it's Portland Veg Fest. It's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at the Convention Center. And only $6 per day. Children under 10 get in for free. And great speakers, including Neil Barnard, and free food samples and film screening of Forks Over Knives. And welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Grant, how are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So, well, your journey toward veganism, did this start as a journalistic stunt, as you put it, to go vegan for a month? And what? Tell us about that, how all of this started for you.
Well, you know, it's really quite cool that I'm being asked to represent at VegFest, because it was this event that really got me started on my vegan journey a few years ago. A friend of mine knew that I was a big meat eater, and he thought it would be kind of funny to send the kid from Kansas City who loved his hamburgers and steak to go to VegFest and get a sense of what the plant-based world might be like. So I went to this event and kind of got my eyes open that a lot of the things that I'd thought about the vegan world weren't true. There were stereotypes that I'd bought into about, you know, who these people were, what they were like, what their, you know, perspective on the world was, and, you know, kind of the whole hippie stereotype. And I really kind of learned that it wasn't just that thing, that there were people there that were a lot like me and that had, you know, lives similar to mine. And so, I took this idea and went to one of my editors and said, I'd like to try this. I'd like to do it for a month, see, you know, how it works for me, write about it, is it challenging, am I finding interesting things to cook, am I bored with it? And to my surprise and delight, they said yes. And so I did it for a month, and I ended up experiencing a whole lot of different changes, and I liked it so much that I decided I wanted to stick with it.
That's amazing, although that might be fitting in a career as a food critic. I've gone vegan now, what can I take?
Well, you know, we have a wide range of people that write here, so I'm now able to bring something, you know, to the newspaper and to our website that we really didn't have before. There wasn't really a lot of focus on plant-based eating, and it really makes sense in Portland, where that's such a, you know, important part of the food scene, and that it was really getting the attention it deserved. But it's also, I think, in the general public, there's such, increasing awareness about issues with factory farms and the connection between diet and health. And a lot of people are deciding that if they don't want to go vegan entirely, they're thinking about maybe Meatless Mondays. And so I've been surprised that the work that I've been doing has had its greatest resonance with people who don't follow a vegan life, but are wanting to incorporate more vegetarian and vegan meals into their weekly menu rotations as they strive to get healthier. So that's been really interesting and eye-opening for me.
Mm-hmm. So, in your first experience, the first month, what sort of foods were you trying? How did that work for you as you were experimenting?
Well, I went into that with, I think, a really good attitude. I've seen a lot of these experiments that other journalists have done with this, where they've gone into it with a really bad attitude, and it's all been about, here's what I can't have, here are all the things that I'm eliminating from my plate. I chose to approach it a little bit differently as, here's a month to experiment with things I've never cooked with before. Here's a chance to learn about some grains that I've never tried. Here's a chance to really figure out what to do with things like tofu, an ingredient I'd never really given any respect to, and now I've learned to love. So I approached the month that way, and I think that by having that attitude, it was a chance for me to be open to liking it rather than having the negative approach where you're like, oh, this is a month to get through.
And so you thought it'd be all begins to be like, although, you know, again, I guess I do admit that I would stop. So maybe I represent the hippie side of the second movement. You said the people like what you might have expected,
I think that one of the cool things about VegFest is it brings together people from all different walks of life, and puts them under one roof, and it's a chance to see that there's great diversity in the veg world, and that it's not just, you know, what outsiders might think of as the traditional stereotypes of, you know, granola-eating, earth-loving people. So.
All right. And we do have a variety of local business, now vegan, and Mike, and so it's so really, really, it's really, really spreading everywhere.
Yeah.
So what have those become your favorite vegans or foods, some of your favorite vegan recipes? I know you're writing about that regularly as part of going vegan.
Well, I've always loved Indian food, and so it's really been a chance to discover a lot more about that cuisine. But I also like Mexican and Southwest food, and it's really amazing how when you take things like, pork out of that there's actually a whole lot of things that you can do with it, with those approaches to cooking. So I tend to eat a lot of those kinds of foods. I also really enjoy Asian food, and of course, you know, a lot of Asian food is vegan to begin with. People just don't think of it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And So talking now to Grant Butler, a writer for the Oregonian newspaper, speaking next week at Portland Veg Fest. And what are some of your vegan beans around Portland? What do you like around Portland?
Well, Portland has a really thriving restaurant scene, and the vegan restaurants are a big part of that. And it's interesting to see how that scene is growing. We now have a vegan fine dining restaurant in Portland called Natural Selection, which I'm hoping Portland will support. We don't have a real good history here of supporting vegan fine dining, so I'm hopeful that will take off. And it's just, again, there's great diversity in our food scene here, and it's interesting also to see the way Portland's mainstream restaurants are now figuring out that if they want to have good business, that they need to offer more interesting plant-based menu options beyond, you know, the pasta primavera and the grilled portobello mushrooms. I think they're trying to learn new techniques and learn that they can offer their guests something more than those standby easy options that a lot of restaurants have relied on over the years to satisfy vegetarian customers.
Do you have some restaurants and some favorite dishes at those restaurants?
Well, I love Portobello Vegan Trattoria. It's just a great Italian restaurant, no matter what label you put on it. They make this really wonderful appetizer that's made out of beets. They call it beet tartare, and it's this beautiful presentation where you've got these, you know, bright red beets, and they're arranged on this plate beautifully, and it's an insanely large portion that's, you know, two people can tackle it maybe, but if you order it on your own, you're not going to be able to finish it. Really wonderful restaurant. And then right across the street from there is a Taqueria Los Gorditos, which offers a regular menu, but it also has a really interesting vegan menu where they use things like soy riso and soy curls as ingredients, and it really makes you think about, again, how Mexican food can be a really appealing plant-based option if you're thinking that, oh, it might be limiting to eat a plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm. Butler will be speaking next again, Portland Veg Fest. It's Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 6 to see him at the convention center. When do you talk?
I speak at 3:30 Sunday afternoon.
3:30 Sunday afternoon, okay. And why do you think Portland has become a center of veganism?
Well, I think part of it is the long-standing relationship that Oregonians have with the agriculture here. We've got a thriving farmers market scene here. Portland restaurants have a long tradition of having personal connections with the farmers who grow the produce that's used in there, and I think it's kind of out of that mindset that thinking about plant-based foods has taken off here. I think that's a lot of it. Also, it's one of those things that I think that positive energy feeds on positive energy, and that the more that the scene grows here, the more there is a raising of awareness about the issues surrounding food, and that there's more conversation about that, and that I think it's one of those things that feeds upon itself. The more that people start to think about it and talk about it and eat that way, the more it manifests itself, and I think that's been just a really positive thing that I've experienced just in the last couple of years with my own work and my own writing and the way that it has been embraced by the really mainstream readership of the newspaper here.
Mm-hmm. It is the style of the environmentalist, and being green as it is, there are so many environment implications that go along with it. And Portland also elected the first ever vegan bloggers. There was a cons just a few days ago. Were you there? Did you?
Yeah, that was an amazing experience. It was great to have people from all over the world. There were people that came from as far away as London and Australia to this event. And it was really interesting to hear, how different writers from around the world tackle difficult things like, you know, all the misperceptions there are about vegan nutrition that are out there. But also, fun things like, you know, what are the issues that vegans face when they're choosing, you know, who they want to date, those sorts of things. It was really fun to get a sense of what people are talking about and the differing opinions that are out there and just, you know, how much blogging about the plant-based world, again, raises awareness out there and that it can be an awful lot of fun, too.
Mm-hmm. And you're vegan for, is it a couple years now?
Almost 2 years now.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. And light instance with it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how my perceptions have changed just in the short period of time that I've been doing this. You know, one of the things I was thinking about when I first went into it were, you know, the health benefits I could get from this. And then the environmentalism, and the, you know, again, you mentioned that's a very Portland thing. And I realized that, you know, I was one of those kind of annoying people that paid an awful lot of attention to reusable grocery bags, but I didn't pay a lot of attention to how green the things were that were going inside the grocery bag.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the initial things that made me think about this. But of course, as you get into learning about, you know, factory farms and what kind of lives the animals lead that, you know, that are in the factory farm system, you become more aware of the issues of animal rights and the protection of you know, all creatures and the need for compassion for the great diversity of living things in this world, not just other humans.
Okay.
And so it's been interesting to see my perceptions change and my eyes open to different things as I've explored more.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then when you realize that the compassionate lifestyle is also the healthier lifestyle and the more environmentally sustainable lifestyle, that obviously is the way to go. We have I think we're just about out of time. So is there any contact for you that you want people to know?
Well, of course, our website is OregonLive.com, and you can find the articles running Food Day on there. And then if you want to engage with me personally, Twitter is a great place to do that, and I am just Grant Butler, GrantButler on Twitter.
Thanks so much for being with us today, Grant Butler. See you next week at Portland Pet Fest. Thanks so much.
Good talking with you.
Take care.
I'm a vegan because me hurts animals.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soup, salad, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9. Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798. VegetarianHouse.us. The clock is ticking for planet Earth in crisis. Climate change, rising oceans, melting glaciers, deforestation, floods, fires, tornadoes, loss of biodiversity, hunger, disease, poverty. What do we do? Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai, From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer. She and her organization have been recognized by world, national, and state leaders for their noble dedication to disaster relief. What is the connection between planetary disaster and meat and dairy consumption? Read From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer, from Supreme Master Ching Hai. What must we ask of our local and global leaders at this time of crisis? What must we ask of ourselves to save the planet? How do we go from crisis to peace? Read From Crisis to Peace. Read it for free at crisistopeace.org. That's crisis, the number two, peace.org. Read it for free. For more on the environment, compassion for animals, improved human health, and plenty of free vegan cooking lessons, visit suprememastertv.com. Read the new book from Supreme Master Qinghai at crisistopeace.org.
Meat cuts life short. I don't want my life cut short or the animals.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. For over 10 years, vegan media infiltration as heard on Air America. How do we do it? We purchase the airtime, and you can help with a tax-deductible donation. Make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, you can go to goveganradio.com. You can also advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Become a sponsor by emailing me, bob at goveganradio.com. I am very happy to present my next guest. Beau Rinaldi is a visionary, thinker, talker, doer. Do you think that being vegan for over 50 years might have something to do with that? Beau is a chef, restaurateur. He's an entrepreneur, an author. Oh, that word is author, isn't it? A co-author of best-selling cookbooks, including Vegan Fusion World Cuisine, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Eating Raw, and The Complete Idiot's Guide to Green Smoothies. Beau is a pioneer in the organic green movement associated with blossoming lotus restaurants. It may have been your favorite in Hawaii, but now it's in Portland. Beau is a driving force behind Vegan Fusion Chef Training and www.cookinghealthylessons.com and Pure Prescriptions. And Beau, vegan for over 50 years. I mean, did they invent vegetables back then?
No, we actually had to invent vegetables that we would go after. I think it was like it had something to do with this kind of idealistic kind of revolution that said plants could cure all of what ails us, and we just picked up on that and went with it. So it's never changed. It's a deep-seated idealism. It goes back thousands of years.
So how is it that you became vegan 51 years ago, Beau?
Right. I was 12 years old in 1960, and I had severe asthma and allergies, and my mother and father did not know what to do about those, and they took me everywhere, all kinds of clinics, and my mother took me to a Seventh-day Adventist doctor. He gave my mother the book Back to Eden. I read the book cover to cover at the age of 12. It was in 2 weeks. I was a budding herbalist and a budding vegan chef, not knowing what a herbalist or chef really is. And I was cured of my asthma and my allergies.
Wow.
Principally, I've never been sick in my entire life. I became a precocious kid, learning all about the man-to-plant connection, as taught by Pythagoras, actually. And I latched onto Pythagoras, and I learned that the term vegetarian had not been utilized, coined, until 1839. Kind of in the 1860 time frame, it starts to hit the public square. Before that, we were called Pythagoreans. Mm-hmm. And so I started to understand that Pythagoras, so there's a Pythagorean theorem, and of course there's a lot of people that follow, I think, veganism that could trace it back to Pythagoras as being probably the pioneer of understanding things like the golden mean, which would be the basis of the Da Vinci Code, the law of seven, which says everything is down, can be broken down to seven vibrational levels, which dictates kind of octaves and rainbows and colors, that plants resonate at those same vibrational levels, such as in the rainbow, and that the color of the plant, the vibration of the plant, organizes what it does for our cellular body, brings that chi to the plant into the chi of our body. And so what happened was he said, our macrophage, our immune system, and they're just talking about your ethereal body at this point, was enhanced by the different types of plants that you ate. I'm going, man, this guy, talk about being lit up. My mind just went crazy. I started studying his life, and the 60s hit, and all of a sudden, we're like serving people free food at gatherings, and we learned that this plant-based lifestyle is kind of countercultural. The culture, the establishment doesn't like us. We're not buying their medicines because we're not getting sick. when I'd eaten their meats, because by definition, it's not food, and it's not to eat, and we are harmonizing on the ground, basically opening our hearts. It's a compassionate lifestyle, and you know, we became targets actually as a result of that, and that kind of started my life in this path of kind of being fascinated with the value of eating food. And there was a Beat Generation poet.
Where are you?
San Francisco and Hollywood, California, Devonshire Downs, Griffith Park. Those would be the love-in situations for in the 60s, right, for the movement. Going to college at CSUN, they called it Valley State back then, the State College in Northridge. And it, from 66 on, kind of, you know, obviously in San Francisco in 67, 68, all around California, then Hawaii, then South America. Moved a lot of the resources actually to Ecuador, living in Vilcabamba in 1970, and then to the coastal areas now of Ecuador. Mm-hmm. And just going to where the people were that, you know, really got it. And I think kind of the whole thing started really with this whole concept of love-ins is what hit my mind. There were founders of these love-in troops that brought theater to people coming all together. You know all about them. And we were not animal rights people at this point. We were more like free love people that felt like everybody deserved a right to a square meal, to be healed, to have warmth, to have shelter. And we just all took care of each other. And it was very idealistic. And it still pervades our society. People don't language it too much, but it's still part of what we're doing. Things like Forks Over Knives, VegFest in Portland, VegFest around the world. People are coming out that are seeing a plant-based diet, food made from scratch, inexpensive, you don't get sick, easy to do, fun. We're not just side dishes anymore. I'm not like an entrepreneur, author, or whatever I am. Seriously, I believe the only way out of this, Bob, is to grow our way out of it. The more that we learn about the fact that we're dealing with about 2% of our food system and we can create food security, the restaurants, the online cooking classes like we have, what we do with our traveling worldwide cooking classes, you know, people can check it all out. It's blossominglotus.com. That's where they can see Vegan Fusion, Blossoming Lotus, everything to do with what we do in Ecuador, all the beach activity we have in Ecuador. I believe that if you had a Blossoming Lotus in any area, it's going to serve in terms of food and jobs and welfare of the neighborhood about 250,000 people per establishment. So if I'm in Portland with a little over 2 million people, if I had 10 of these around the city, or whatever you can call it, Kappa XYZ, whatever it is, if we're doing scratch-based cooking and live food cooking, all organic sourced food, we would not have any problems whatsoever. We'd minimize transportation, all the other costs you're talking about, and in a sense, it's a demonstration that this is possible. So we're thinking our next cookbook might be the food stamp diet.
Really, yeah.
So that people could learn how to do this for a dollar a meal, or not have to have millions of dollars to open up their own cafe or a restaurant and bring their kids, like I was, at 12 years old, into the kitchen and realize that it's where the real alchemy is happening.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. We have to take a break, and we will continue talking with Bo Rinaldi, who went vegan when I was learning to tie my shoes. Well, that's over 50 years ago. He's still vegan. I'm still learning to tie my shoes. More coming up on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. You can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. Donate online at goveganradio.com.
Destroy the earth.
Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro in Portland is so popular, it's had to expand its seating. Find out for yourself why Sweet Lemon rates such rave reviews for its 100% vegan, Asian and American fusion creative cuisine. Some dishes found nowhere else. See the menu at sweetlemonveggiebistro.com. Catering trays, vegan cakes, and delivery are available. Sweet Lemon in the Bethany Village Center, 4888 Northwest Bethany Boulevard. Call 503-617-1419. Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro.
We got something for you who don't want meat. A natural soy product and a tasty treat. It's tofurkey. That's what I said, tofurkey. There's Tofurky Roast Deli Slices, too. They have Tofurky Sausage, even jerky to chew. We admit the name is kind of quirky, but once you taste it, you'll love Tofurky, Tofurky. Come on, give it a try. It's Tofurky. See us at Tofurky.com. T-O-F-U-R-K-Y, Tofurky. Wherever quality natural foods are sold.
The clock is ticking for planet Earth in crisis. Climate change, rising oceans, melting glaciers, deforestation, floods, fires, tornadoes, loss of biodiversity, hunger, disease, poverty. What do we do? Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai, From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer. She and her organization have been recognized by world, national, and state leaders for their noble dedication to disaster relief. What is the connection between planetary disaster and meat and dairy consumption? Read From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer, from Supreme Master Ching Hai. What must we ask of our local and global leaders at this time of crisis? What must we ask of ourselves to save the planet? How do we go from crisis to peace? Read From Crisis to Peace. Read it for free at crisistopeace.org. That's crisis, the number two, peace.org. Read it for free. For more on the environment, compassion for animals, improved human health, and plenty of free vegan cooking lessons, visit suprememastertv.com. Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai at crisistopeace.org.
I'm a vegan because meat hurts animals.
We continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and we ask that you support the program with a tax-deductible donation. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com. If you'd like to advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services, email me. It's Bob at goveganradio.com. Today we're talking to Bo Rinaldi, who really is a visionary when it comes to the green organic movement. And if you like to hear what we've talked about thus far, go to goveganradio.com for the archive. And Bo is here today. He's all excited about next week with the big Portland Veg Fest happening at the convention center. And Bo is also the author, co-author of Vegan Fusion World Cuisine, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Eating Raw, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Green Smoothies. Oh, so Bo, what about a green smoothie? What would be a delicious
one? I think the premise is that we like to support local farmers. We support people, that do grow organic food, obviously. So from the co-op, find whatever looks fresh. We love sorrel. We love dandelion. We love parsley and cilantro and basil, purslane. A lot of these vegetables are not always the most delectable or the easiest to take in, and sometimes they're garnish, or obviously they say vegans all we eat is side dishes. Well, the fact of the matter is that muscle builders and high-performance athletes, Olympiads, mothers, kids, whatever, the green smoothie boom is on. And literally, if you take a fresh apple, maybe half a bunch of kale, some clean celery and cucumber, and you put it in your blender, it should be a high-powered blender, but a good blender, you blend it down for a minute or two, it makes the most delectable kind of aphrodisiac. It's an elixir in many ways. It fortifies the body. The fiber in there fills the body and helps nutrify and balance the body. They're alkalizing, so the body gets rid of its acidic state, readily assimilable. Obviously, chlorophyll is the same as blood. It's analogous to blood, the blood of the plant, the blood of the human. We can talk about that sometime, but I think people should know about that. It basically goes right into your bloodstream, energizes you, good before a workout, certainly after a workout. Do one of those a day, especially upon arising. Do it for 7 days. And you will find your body transformed, frankly. It's inexpensive and a great way to nutrify yourself. So that book is going to be another one of our best sellers, I believe, because we're putting in all of our little tips and tricks.
Bo, the smoothie sounds so delicious and nutritious. What about the cuisine at Blossoming Lotus Restaurant in Portland?
Well, we have chef specials on all the time. So Chef Wes Hanna, major chef, is always putting down incredible things. We have barbecue soy curl wraps, which are amazing. We have our live dishes, our live nachos, I think. We're known for our raw food as well. We serve about 300 organic farmers produce over the course of a year, so that may be maybe 30,000 people working on farms. And obviously, thousands and thousands of people every week, essentially. So the menu's online, and they can go to blossominglotus.com to see the BLPDX menu. Blossoming Lotus Portland is BLPDX.com. Facebook, Blossoming Lotus, is always good as well. The menu is seasonal, changes frequently. There's fresh squeezed juices. There's all kinds of elixirs and cocktails. There's happy hours. There's soft tacos, which are unbelievable. Live wraps. I eat the taco salad as much as I can. It's a live taco salad. It has a lot of secret little goodies in it that Wes puts in there. And it's an endless menu. It's like ambrosia. It's one of the best menus on the planet.
Wow, that all sounds so wonderful. And you're also involved with training chefs.
We also have an executive chef, Mark Reinfeld, that helped us start Blossoming Lotus. Actually, he's credited with starting Blossoming Lotus in the island of Kauai, and which we had to close down after the end of 2008. People just stopped coming to Hawaii. Everybody stopped doing everything in 2009. So basically, he decided to take the show on the road. We put together a program where he trains chefs and people that own resorts and spas and such, $1,500 for 2 weeks, and he travels the world. He's in Santorini, Greece today. People can go to veganfusion.com or, again, blossominglotus.com is where we put all of our outreach together. He is sold out. He travels. He's going to Peru, Belize, south of France is where he just came from. So I said, Mark, let's take this class that basically takes about $5,000 out of a person's pocket, and let's bring it to the kids of the world, since I started cooking at 12, the average mother, maybe somebody even that's on food stamps, anybody, and let's put it online and give them a membership so that for a year we can give them new recipes, tips, tricks, techniques, all these things. He's a professional trainer of vegan chefs. He's a certified vegan trainer of chefs, and he's remarkable. So we have 22 videos, the same manual that he uses for $1,500, all these special goodies and things that you get when you get to do an online membership site. We have interviews, all kinds of things that we've done. Your interview with me will be up there as well. It's all on a membership site. If they go to cookinghealthylessons.com, we do charge $97 for the year. But not only is it worth it, they can share it with their friends. The key thing, get the kids into the kitchen. Have them see the alchemy of taking fresh food and turning it into amazingly nutritious, inexpensive, transformational dishes.
cookinghealthylessons.com.
Yep, we have our key lime mousse up there. We show people how to do all kinds of, you know, basically seed and nut cheeses, which you have to learn how to do, live wraps. There's all kinds. We teach people tricks. Even if somebody's expert, there's many things you still can learn, and we go from the very basic to somewhat the esoteric.
And all of this is from the heart for you. You do believe that going vegan will solve all the world's problems, right?
In the 60s, there was Senjuko Roshi. He was a Zen beat monk, and he was a popular friend of ours, and he says, when I feed you, I am not feeding you. When I feed you is about everything. In the Vedas, they say to feed people, to eliminate people. Ram Das is in India. After he's with Neem Karoli Baba for a few weeks, and Neem Karoli's tuned into his head, he says everything. He goes, but Baba, what do I do? He says to Ram Das, feed people. If you look at the churches and the outreach to people and whatever, Napoleon goes, he who feeds the people controls the people. We say he who feeds the people frees the people. If you had organic farmers everywhere growing whatever is seasonal, people cooking this way and learning how to do scratch-made food this way, living harmlessly, our hearts will open, our immune systems will bolster. I believe we can eradicate most of human disease. Certainly, the water, the land, and the air, by definition, would all be purified. I think that if we were all driving Priuses, solar-powered iPads, recycling everything, it would not amount to a whit. I believe we can end our energy crisis, imperialistic domination, whatever, establishment crises, whatever people think is going on, by adopting a full-on plant-based lifestyle, taking a look at possibly eliminating gluten out of our lives, which has proven to be the culprit in many neurodisruptive type diseases like chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, Crohn's, Alzheimer's, possibly, and even autism, possibly. Just experiment with yourself. Not only is it not going to hurt, you're going to feel great, you're going to look great. People are just going to say, what are you doing? And by following what we try to show people, and people are learning more and more every day, well, I do believe we can grow our way out of this.
And you are into growing your own, or growing our own, right?
We have a lot of farmland. I'm looking for organic farmers. If people go to blossominglotus.com, they can email me from there. We're looking for organic farmers to help us colonize paradise here in America, in Honduras. We have about 400 acres that we're putting into cultivation. In Ecuador, we have over 1,000 acres. We believe organic farming, scratch-based cooking, teaching the kids how to do this, the mothers how to do this, everybody how to do this. Actually, as mundane as it sounds, from this comes hundreds of cottage industries. So I invite you to join Bob Linden on Go Vegan Radio Weekly, wherever he is, from the megaphone to the microphone that he has. And Bob, thank you for having me on. If people visit me at blossominglotus.com, sign up for our classes, or just go to a free newsletter we have at Vegan Fusion, certainly thank you to the wider community for supporting the Blossoming Lotus, and a shout out to the incredible family that we have that busts out the best organic meals daily at the Blossoming Lotus. To all the restaurateurs out there, the writers, the dreamers, the schemers, everybody that's thinking about this, just get out there and do it. It's easy. You'll feel better.
Bo, we're just about out of time, but people can see you next week at Portland Veg Fest at the Convention Center, Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. $6 for adults. Children under 10 get in for free.
I'll be there both days. I'll be with the Blossoming Lotus. I'll be with the Seventh-day Adventists. I'll be there with different gluten-free bakeries. I'll be there talking up a lot of what we have going on in the raw food movement here. I will tell you there'll be thousands and thousands of people. Where are you going to feast for the day? You're going to be with your community. There's samples everywhere. People just, the give is on, right? The love is in the house. You meet all kinds of celebrities because they do come out to Portland. This is a hub. It's an epicenter of change, one of the places where the bloodless revolution is hosted, seriously. And it's just a good time to be part of community in this sense. So there's music and food, love and laughter, doctors, dietitians, chefs, obviously the august, Dr. Neil Barnard will be here. Cannot wait to see what he's going to say. Great, great cooking demonstrations. The vegetarian societies of our nation are just putting on these great events right now. They're sourcing the local organic foods. They're bringing in the local chefs. People are coming out.
And we have been talking to Bo Rinaldi, and you can catch up with him at blossominglotus.com and www.cookinghealthylessons.com. And in the time remaining, Bo, anything else that you wanted to mention to people listening?
I would tell people to advertise on your show if they believe that and know that too, because I want to see your voice be heard loud and wide. I listen to your stuff sometimes, and you just make me laugh, man. I don't know. You just have this like unique way of making the difficult information that you bring to people. It's not funny, and you don't use sarcasm. You have this like unique kind of insightful thing. It's like surgically into my mind sometimes, cutting free anything that I might think of a notion that there are too many people out here that don't get it, and you sneak up on us and make us laugh, and anybody that does get it, that here's what you're doing, you're brilliant, so what you do, we got to support you, man, too.
You are,
not just by donation, advertising.
Oh, and we're just out of time when you're really starting to get into the good stuff here. Thanks for the kind words, Bo, and it was a pleasure having you on today's program. Bo Rinaldi, check him out next week. He'll be at Portland Veg Fest. This is Go Vegan Radio, Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and please support the program with a tax-deductible donation. You can donate online at goveganradio.com. We'll be right back. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. It's the time of year when big vegan festivals happen around the country. World Veg Weekend, the 12th annual, is coming up at the County Fair Building in Golden Gate Park, October 1st and 2nd. Next week, Portland, which has become a global vegan center, has its big Veg Fest. And on this week's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Sunday at 3 p.m., you'll hear Grant Butler, arts critic and food writer for the Oregonian newspaper. 2 years ago, as a journalistic stunt, he went vegan for a month. Well, he's still vegan, and he'll be talking about that. Also on this week's show, someone who went vegan 51 years ago. Bo Rinaldi is a visionary in the vegan green organic movement, co-author of Vegan Fusion World Cuisine, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Eating Raw, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Green Smoothies. He's been involved with popular restaurants, Blossoming Lotus, chef training, and a whole lot more. Also in this week's show, the California Senate did pass the shark fin ban. We talk about that. On next week's program, my guest is Ingrid Newkirk, founder of PETA. And do mark your calendar. Plan on attending the 12th annual World Veg Weekend, Golden Gate Park, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., October 1st and 2nd. I'm the MC again. There'll be great speakers, T. Colin Campbell, John Robbins, Dr. Milton Mills. Check out the roster at sfvs.org. I'm scheduled to speak for an hour and a half on Sunday. I've invited Nathan Winograd to share the stage with me, and I will be talking about vegan animal liberation activism and starting a campaign to abolish meat. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden is made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House, world-class organic vegan cuisine at 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. Visit vegetarianhouse.us. And by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, now with over 200 worldwide, the very first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. In Palo Alto at 165 University Avenue. And for the Bay Area Loving Hut near you, visit lovinghut.us. You can support this program with a tax-deductible donation. You know, we pay for airtime each and every week, so when you support Go Vegan with Bob Linden, you're also supporting Progressive Talk Radio. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. If you'd like to advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services, by all means, contact me via email. It's bob@goveganradio.com. bob@goveganradio.com. On Facebook, it's Bob Linden. On Twitter, Go Vegan Radio. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, goveganradio.com.